Hey guys, just a quick little disclaimer up top. This episode actually took a lot longer than we were expecting, but it's good because we wanted to get our thoughts out and we didn't want to have to really rush it. So we decided to break it up into three parts, and this is part one. So yeah, look forward to we're going to be releasing them. This one obviously is out this Saturday, and then you can look up to part two on Wednesday, and then part three will be coming out on Saturday. Our Kumiko the Treasure Hunter podcast will be coming out the next Saturday. All right, so enjoy the episode.
Let's get contextual and conceptual about these movies, comic books, and TV shows, and ask Walt what this character do in this scenario. Let's get contextual. Let's get contextual.
Yeah, you guys got your lists up and everything? You all ready?
Absolutely.
All right. Welcome everyone to another episode of Let's Get Contextual, the podcast where each week we give you context on your favorite movies and TV shows and comic books. Except this week, because this week we are going to divulge in some stuff that we've wanted to do for a little while. And basically, we're going to give our brief thoughts on the whole of the MCU so far. Basically, the Infinity Saga, because that wrapped up quite nicely recently. And we're just going to kind of give our thoughts and where the movies rank on our lists. And yeah, I think it'll be fun. Are you guys up for that?
All right. Let's,
no, not at all.
Let's play this hot and fast, loosey-goosey.
Could we just pick a new topic? I'm not up for this at all.
Okay. Guys,
we certainly didn't have weeks of discussion about this.
Absolutely not. Yeah. All right, guys. New plan. We're going to talk about the game Scrabble. Anyway, okay.
I haven't played Scrabble.
I freaking love Scrabble. Dude. Did you know that letters make words?
I didn't. This is actually a new revelation for me. It's really hard for me to play the game.
I'm a literature major. I think I could be really good if I could spell better.
Like, That's kind of like saying I'd be really good at chess if I knew how to play chess better. It's kind of like, well, yeah.
I'd be right. Great at football if I had fucking arms.
Good start, guys. All right. So, yeah, we're going to go through just in release order and kind of talk about each movie, where they pop up in our lists, and just kind of, you know, fast and loose, like Garrett said. So, starting with phase one, guys, the opening to the MCU, Iron Man. Where do you got, that came out in 2008. I'm not going to give statistics for all of them, just the year that they came out. What do you guys, where does Iron Man pop up on your guys' list? What number?
Garrett, you go, then I'll go for each one. That okay. Way it's easy to, yep.
Makes sense. All right, he's in my top 10. I gave him rank 8.
Wow. Nice job. All right. Zach, where do you have him?
Nice job.
It's 11. I didn't make my top 10.
Wow. I've got him at 14.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to be the oddball.
Yeah,
I swear. I thought I was going to be like, yeah.
Well, okay. So, as I've mentioned a couple times, my list has like sections where, like, within reason, I could hear an argument for moving a film up or down within each of these blocks, and I wouldn't be that upset
completely
if I did
agree.
Move it around. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, for me, my top section is actually quite large. My top section is 10. So, like,
okay.
The top 10 is, like, a section of, like, the great Marvel movies that I could hear an argument to move all those around. And then from 11 to probably about the range of 16 to 18 are what I call the origin story movies. And so these are all, like, this is everything from, like, Iron Man to, like, all the first superhero movies where they all have the same problem. And so this is what I want to start with Iron Man, is that for me, Iron Man has the problem of it's a great story. It has the problem that it's a fantastic character story for Tony Stark, but then in the third act, the villain completely changes character and is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And the third act is horrible.
Yeah, if they could have given us a villain that had a more compelling motivation than I'm evil and I'm bald.
Yeah.
That's,
and
like,
I'm even like earlier in the film, I was more into a villain that was like corporate espionage than like I want to put on a big suit and beat you. Like
if someone else had put on the suit and he was just like the mind behind it, it would have been a little bit
been a little bit better. Let the guy from A Christmas Story put it on from earlier in the film.
Also, they reference Big Lebowski in Endgame.
Yeah.
So did no one at any point in all those movies go, hey, it's so funny, you know, the guy from Big Lebowski looks just like the guy I used to work with, and subsequently fried.
See, like, everybody always points this out with Nick Fury, because he plays Mace Windu in the first three Star Wars movies, and they reference Star Wars images all the time.
Yeah, you know Peter Parker has seen him in a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my thing is, there's either two scenarios, one where this, either one where Samuel L. Jackson, Jeff Bridges, and all these other people, because they mentioned Hot Tub Time Machine and Winter Soldier's in that. So
oh,
it's like,
is it? Yeah.
So either all these actors actually exist in that world, or they are played by completely different people. Yeah. And either way, I want to see this played out. I want to see Mason. I want to be. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Simpler than that. I think it's just that sometimes people look like celebrities, and in this universe,
yeah, I was gonna say, like, it just happens that, like, quite a few of the people we've seen on screen look a lot like him. Yeah. But yeah, so anyway, back to
the one line where he says, Tony Stark built this in a cave.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good line.
I do love that.
And then the guy who said, I'm not Tony Stark, goes, woo, I'll be back. And then he, like, disappeared from the background. Just you wait 11 years, you know?
Yeah. In case everybody didn't know, there's spoilers for all these movies, so yeah.
I was back enough. No,
I'm preempting.
My list from like 14 till the end, all interchangeable. Like,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
There's two that float right in between the two interchangeable parts for me. 1 through 11, like, I can, like you said, I can hear an argument that one way or another, one film is better than another.
Yeah.
And then from 14 to 23, it's pretty much the Wild West, man. Like,
that's like, fair. Anything and nothing. Yeah.
Have to put these in an order, and it's really hard right now.
Yeah. But
12 and 13 are those are in a gray area for me, because the ones I've seen the least.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, see,
can't confirm anything with those.
Yeah, I was gonna say, Zach, where did you say you had Iron Man at 11?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
because so like, my setup is 1 through 7 is great, 8 to 14 is fine, and then 15 15 to 18 is okay, and then the rest is garbage.
Yeah.
So
yeah, see, yeah, so my list is structured, the 1 to 10 is great, they're the great Marvel movies. 11 to 18 is good, in my opinion. It's good to fine, like, it's kind of in there. And then 19 to 23 are the ones that I don't like. Like, that's where the line goes, to where I'm like, I'm not actually enjoying this anymore. But I was going to say, you have him at 11. 11 is the start of my block of, like, the origin story movies. So it's just that within that block, it's just that personal enjoyment and preference take place. And that's why he's at 14 and not 11. Like,
sure.
But I could hear an argument that he could be there. But yeah, so... Yeah, I think we're all kind of on the same page that Iron Man's real good until the third act, basically.
It's good, and it basically got outshone by later movies. That's all.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all it is.
They created the formula, but later on it was heavily critiqued.
Perfected. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think that's kind of the story of the MCU as a whole. So anything else you want to say, or let's move on?
No, let's move on.
Okay. I want to spend the least time on this one, because we spent a whole episode talking about it, but The Incredible Hulk from 2008. Zach, go ahead. Give your spiel.
No, it's Garrett first, then me.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I have it dead last.
I have it. Sorry, I'm going to jump in before Zach, because Zach's the oddball here. I've got it at 21, so it's in the section of bad movies, in my opinion. Zach, give your spiel.
It's number one. No, I'm kidding. It's actually at 14 for me.
Okay, I'm willing to meet you there. More so than I am at one.
It's within the. I that was my second Marvel movie. It is definitely a guilty pleasure. It's. I understand the flaws of it. I don't think it's as bad as people think it is. We did a whole episode. Just go watch the episode.
Yeah, exactly.
I agree with you there. I don't think it's as bad as everyone says it is, but. You know, this is a personal list, and I just don't find it very enjoyable. Like, when I watch Incredible Hulk, I'm like, okay, like, let's move on to when the Hulk's, like, cool.
No, I want sad, depressed Hulk. I'm not joking. I legitimately like that. So.
Get that too later on. He loses his family.
Family?
Anyway, Hulk's always sad and depressed, okay?
Yeah, no, just in general. That's just me every day. There's nothing in here, man.
I think for me, the reason, because the bottom two movies I absolutely hate, and there are so few, like, redeeming qualities in my mind, that the reason that Hulk is only third to last is because the first half is great and the second half is awful. And that's basically mine and Garrett's opinion in the episode. Yeah, so if you want more for that, there's a whole like hour and a half of us talking about that, the greatness that is that movie,
and then another 45 minutes about Star Wars.
Yeah, so. Yeah, another 45 minutes of yelling about Star Wars. So if you like that, yeah, maybe go and like skip to like the end. So
I get passionate.
You do, yeah. All right, so if everybody's good, next one.
Yep.
Iron Man 2 came out in 2010. Garrett,
I've got it marked at 21.
Oh wow, okay. Yeah. I mean, I'm not surprised. A lot of people don't like this movie, but
like it's one of those ones that I pretty like on a rewatch, like Iron Man 2. Like Incredible Hulk, Iron Man 2, those ones I might not watch.
That's fair. Yeah. Zach?
I completely disagree with Garrett, which is why I also have it at 21. I'm right with everyone, Garrett. It's not great. It's one of my least favorites. So. Okay,
yeah.
It's just forgettable.
I actually have it at 18, which is kind of high.
Far off.
That's not too. Yeah,
18 is like my bottom of the block of what I call origin story movies. And I know it's not an origin story movie, but it's got the same problems. But the thing I like about this movie is I love the premise. It's such a natural progression from the first Iron Man to do an arms race.
I disagree entirely. The character does a complete reset for no reason, and then he stays that way until Civil War.
Okay, yeah. So
and I can't stand it when they do that in movies.
I'm talking about the story progression of the world. So like if you take Iron Man, the world's reaction would be Iron Man 2, which is an arms race. I really like that aspect of it. And that's kind of that's going to come up later as well. Like I quite like when the sequel is the story of the sequel is a natural progression from the story of the first. And I really like that about Iron Man. I don't think, because when they were doing Iron Man, they were saying that they were going to do the Demon in the Bottle story, and I don't think they did that justice. But I also think,
Far enough with that, no.
Yeah, but I don't think I hate his character nearly as much as Zach does, because I think him dying is enough for me to be like, all right, I'm fine with the stuff he does. I don't love it, and that's why it's at the bottom-ish of my list, but I don't think it's as bad as I think Zach does.
Yeah, when he died, for me, it was like, good. That's one less menace, legitimately. And I'm not, that's the problem. I'm not kidding. I was like, I'm happy he's dead. There will be less people trying to destroy the world now that he's not here.
Yeah, and I think besides the first Iron Man, the first Avengers movie and then the Russo brothers did the best stuff with Iron Man. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So I think this movie is definitely...
Oh, I disagree with Avengers. I feel like Avengers made that problem so much... The problem of two so much worse, but that we'll get to that.
Okay. Yeah, anyway, I quite like Iron Man 2. But, I mean, it's not that high. We have Thor at 2011. Garrett, take it away.
I've got it at... Wait, is it? Yep, 18.
Okay. Zach?
I think Thor is fine. Yeah. Truth. Like, it's just not...
There's just a lot of other movies that are better. Yeah, that's kind of the mantra of this list is always that like it's fine, but there are others that are better.
I just want to preface that 18 sounds harsh, but like it's a soft 18. Like it's not that bad. Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, yeah. Yeah, like I said, 18 is 18
between like 18, 19, and then the rest of them.
Yeah, you know exactly. What I mean? Like 18,
it falls off real hard.
18 and 19 is my border between ones that I enjoy and I don't enjoy. So I'm with you there.
Yeah.
Anyway, Zach, what'd you say?
I had 13. So okay, my list is a little more harsh. So 13 is about the same. It's about it's fine. It's I love Kenneth Branagh as a director. I love the kind of Shakespearean aspect of it.
You love your Dutch angles.
I love me some Dutch angles. I love me some broken tripods.
Honestly,
no,
like,
yeah.
I'm sorry, one thing about Thor is like that first movie is almost like how else could you do Thor the first time? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
sure. Yeah. I'm on board for that.
Like, would have had the guts to do Ragnarok right off the bat. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And it would have sucked.
It wouldn't make any sense. You know, mm-hmm. like, we had to get used to the idea of a fucking Thor movie in the first place.
Yeah. No, I think this movie definitely did a good job of introducing Thor. I think we'll get to it, but I think the second film stayed in that too long. But yeah, I think the grandness and the Shakespeareanness of it really helped it. So for me, right. It's at 16, which is like smack dab in the middle to later end of that kind of group of movies. Yeah, it's good. I enjoy it more than most people do. Like, a lot of people actually hate Thor, and I don't get why, because the character story is so good, I think. Like,
yeah, with Thor and Loki, like, both of them are really well written.
Yeah, exactly. Book. And that's why I don't understand it, because I think there's other movies in this universe that have worse mm-hmm. character writing. All right, moving on. We have Captain America: The First Avenger, also in 2011. Where do you guys have this? Garrett?
At number 9.
Nice. Okay.
The top 10. He cracked my top 10.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Zach?
I have him at 7.
Nice.
Nice.
Top okay. 7.
Wow. Yep. I have him the lowest. I was not expecting this. I have him at 11. I wasn't expecting this at all. I quite like this movie. I guess my list
obviously
is...
Obviously, I do too.
I would say... Me too. I think my list is probably more generous than Zach's list. Like, Zach, you mentioned yours is pretty harsh. So
yeah,
maybe 11.
7 is the cutoff of movies I actually like.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so yeah, I think you and I are quite the same. Yeah, Captain America is the top of my origin story block, because I think it still has some of the problems of the third act, but I think it's much more forgiving because Red Skull is just inherently ridiculous. So I quite like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one instead of like like in comparison to Iron Man, you have the almost bait and switch with Ironmonger, but like Red Skull's just a fucking Nazi, so like,
yeah, yeah. And he's ridiculous through the whole movie.
Yeah,
yeah,
guy's so ridiculously evil. Oh, he's the crazy portion of the Nazis. Yeah, okay, well,
yeah,
you know, yeah.
I quite like that. I was telling Zach when I rewatched it, because I did a rewatch of these recently. I love that he drives around in his little Nazi car. It's one of my favorite things. He just has his big like Nazi car with like the turbo engines and everything. It's so good.
And he's got the Indiana Jones style words written out in English by Germans and Austrians for no reason. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so good. I love this movie. I think it's a perfect introduction to Captain America. Like, setting it in World War II is so good. Like, you can't really move it from there. And it's got Tommy Lee Jones, and Tommy Lee Jones is fantastic.
Legend.
Yeah.
And it's one of the few, I feel like, character-wise, like, was set up and didn't have, like, a mild or extreme course correction. Like, Captain America, like, you didn't watch the Captain America storyline all the way through without scratching your head once, you know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah, like, Iron Man and Thor both get a little bit of a revamp.
Especially Thor.
Especially
Thor. Just like,
yeah.
Thor's a brand new person, like, from one movie to the next. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. All right, and we hit the end of Phase 1 with the only MCU movie to come out in 2012, which is Marvel's The Avengers. Garrett, take it away.
Hey, once again, a film in my top 10. The First Avengers ranks at 6 for me.
Okay.
Dante, you go first on this one, because okay. You guys are not going to agree with what I have to say.
Yeah, I think we aren't, because he also cracked my top 10, which, as we know, is my top 10. He's at number 8.
Yeah.
Okay, Avengers is number 15, right below Hulk.
Jeez.
Oh.
That's wrong.
I didn't like this film when it came out. Everyone else, and I convinced myself I did it, because everyone else was like, it's so amazing. It's not. It's fine. Cap looks stupid.
Cap looks dumb, but that's not a
big
problem.
Joss Whedon has the horrible trait of taking one major character, taking one element of a character and making that the character. And he did that with Cap. He did that with Iron Man. He did with he did with Thor. He did with Hulk. It's like, okay, yeah, it's like, oh, Robert Downey Jr.'s quips. That's all he is. Thor is Shakespearean. It's like, all right, yeah. Oh, yeah, Cap's old. Okay, yep, okay. This, like, it drives me. It's a complete butchering of the characters. I can't stand it. And it started a whole, like, 5 years of watching Marvel movies where everyone was quipping. I'm like, stop quipping for 2 seconds. I have more of a problem with Joss Whedon, I think, than, you know.
Yeah. I disagree with you in that I think this this, first of all, I love this film because, like, even just going back through the rewatch, like, the first culmination of all these characters is just amazing to me. And, like, people have said it before in other things, but I'm gonna steal it for a second here. Excuse my language. They call it fuck yeah moments, and there are a lot of those in the Avengers. And I think if, like, as a fan, just going back through and watching it, it's like, it's so enjoyable to watch all those moments. And, like, I think I don't see the taking the three-dimensional characters and making them one-dimensional. I can see what you're saying, Zach, and I feel like I just feel like in taking those characters and putting them in the situation of the Avengers, that's just kind of how they would react, and how, like, putting all those elements into one chemical batch would create the reactions that it does in the film. Like,
sure, and I think I do understand you do need that, and I don't like it, but I do. I'm not going, like, it's like it came out of nowhere. I get it. And I will say, just to clarify, everyone who likes this film more than me, I get it. I can 100% get it.
Okay.
It is a preference. I'm not saying that anyone who disagrees with me is wrong, because I'm like, no, I totally understand. And for me, that everyone was so excited about them teaming up, that never really registered with me for some reason.
Okay.
And never really impacted me, like, oh, yeah, this is amazing. It never hit. Not until Endgame. Endgame was the first Marvel movie where I was, like, actually kind of excited to see people teaming up.
Okay.
So,
which is really weird, but that's on me. So,
and I think it is a big cultural thing with all of the different franchises, well, same franchise, but, you know, different characters coming together. But I think that the Avengers, to me, works well on a level that, say, that if that was your first Marvel movie and you saw the Avengers, I think you would be hooked and go and watch other Marvel movies. Like, I think you would be like, where did Iron Man come from to get to this point? Like, where did what's Cap's
like, even the people that didn't know who these people were would go see this movie because it's like it was like a cultural phenomenon, and then they would be spurned to go and watch the previous movies.
And as I'm not gonna pretend that I'm different than you, Zach. When I first saw it, I hated it. Like, I hated this movie when I first saw it. I was at a, I don't know, I was at an age where I was grumpy about action movies and superhero movies, and then I just got over myself and was like, okay, I'm having a good time. Like,
yeah. See, I think I had a very different experience to you guys, and I think part of it is my age. I'm gonna maybe this will ruin some of my cred, I don't know, but who cares. I was 12 when the Avengers came out.
No, you didn't have cred before, don't worry about it, man.
All right, cool. I forgot to do this earlier, but I mean, if you have an interesting story about your first time seeing this movie, feel free to say it, because
I've got one.
I didn't. Okay. Well, because I didn't see.
I just went through my first breakup when it happened. Because I just thought about that. I never thought about. Oh, that's interesting. All right. Anyway.
Well, because I was gonna say the first MCU movie that I saw in theaters. I don't remember exactly which one it was, but it was somewhere in Phase 2. I didn't see any of Phase 1 in theaters. And I didn't see a lot of Phase 1 until after I saw the Avengers. I had seen Thor, I think I had seen Iron Man, and maybe Iron Man 2 and Cap. I'm not quite sure on those two. It took me a while to see Cap, and I don't remember why. I think it was just because my family didn't have access to it after. But the Avengers was like, I didn't even see it in theaters. My brother got to see it in theaters, and he's younger than me. I was really jealous because at the time, we were looking for a house, and I was off at, like, some summer camp, and my dad took my brother to see Avengers and then went to go look at a house, and it's the house that they are currently living in right now, so that's kind of cool. Well, he looked at two houses that day. One that had a rat in it, and then the other one, which is the one they're living in right now.
which had two rats
in it. Yeah, exactly. But, like, Avengers, I loved it so much. And I think I was at the perfect age too, because like I said, it came out when I was 12. I think by the time I saw it, I was 13. And like, there was, I have a little brother and I have three little sisters. So I'm the oldest of my siblings. Whenever there was a day where my sisters were going out and my dad or my mom would be like, all right, Dante and Sylvan, you're going to stay home. You get to watch, you know, one of the movies you can't watch with the girls around. Almost every single time, my brother and I chose to watch The Avengers. And it was just like, it was so much fun. And like I said earlier, like the fuck yeah moments of just, it's so cool, you know, like, I don't know. It was just, it was perfect for like kind of a bonding experience between me and my brother. Anytime nobody else was in the house, we would just watch the Avengers. I don't know. What were you going to say, Garrett?
It's interesting. My first viewing of the film was, or my first experience with the film was actually not watching it. So it came out on May 4th in 2012. My birthday is May 5th. Okay. And I was a senior in high school, and my then girlfriend took me out to dinner, and we were going to go see the Avengers movie because, you know, naturally.
Yeah.
We get there, and they're like, we're sold out. You know, like, okay. You can't get in. And we were like, I was so upset. Like, I was pissed. And then, so we bought tickets to go see freaking 21 Jump Street that was out at the exact same time.
That was a good movie.
Because I wanted to see the goddamn Avengers movie. And, like, friends of ours from school were in the theater to see the Avengers. And they came out to, like, get popcorn or something as we were walking in. And I was like, guys, are there seats in there? Like, can we sneak in? And they're like, oh, yeah, there's plenty. That's, you know, just walk in. It's not a big deal. And I was like, I looked at my girlfriend like, okay, let's do this. And she was like, no, we are not sneaking into the movie. I was like, come on, it's my birthday. You know, like, let's do it, you know?
Yeah.
And she was like, no. So I sat through 21 Jump Street, the grumpiest little shit I've ever been. Like, just so upset because I couldn't watch my Avengers movie.
I feel like that reflects on
her because she didn't let me sneak in.
I feel like that reflects on your opinion of 21 Jump Street more than the Avengers.
I'm never gonna rewatch that. Too many bad memories.
Fair enough. Yeah, so I think we've all said our piece on the Avengers. You ready to move into phase two?
Let's do it.
All right. So in 2013, we had Iron Man 3. Garrett, where is he for you?
He sits at a comfy 19.
Wow. Okay. Zach?
I know. Wow. Such negativity. Mine's sitting at 18.
Wow. I'm different than both of you guys. I got him at 15. He's right behind. Insane. Yeah. Yeah. He's right behind the first Iron Man for me.
He's right behind Thor. And like I said, I don't think Thor is a bad movie. I just like it less. Like,
yeah.
I think Iron Man 3 gets a bad rap just as Iron Man 2 does.
I think Iron Man 3 is leagues better than Iron Man 2, though, because the character story for Tony is there, and it's real good. And Zach
honestly
disagrees entirely, but it's fine.
No, I was going to say, I feel, I could be wrong, but I feel like you agree that it's here in this movie, but it disappears for the rest of the movies.
What does?
The reaction, the PTSD and the reaction to Avengers.
No, because the thing is, it's here for this movie for about 12 seconds, and then it's like, I'm better now, and it's like,
the I'm better now, it happens a lot later in the film.
It happens later in the film, but and for all intents and purposes, it stops about halfway through the film. And then it's like, now I'm better when I throw my arc reactor into the, it's like, no, but you were better, it just stopped being a thing, like,
okay.
At well, the like, kids' place, and it was never used in any impactful way.
It's
like the worst Chekhov's gun. It's like, he has PTSD. Does it impact the story at all? No. All right, well, then why do you have it? You know, he made some suits.
I don't think it was resolved very well. It does pop up at the kids' place because, like, there's the moment where they go to, like, the crater or whatever.
Right, but once again, it's what's the purpose of it? It doesn't impact the story in any way. If we had never had that scene... It's like, if he had not had a PTSD attack in that scene, the movie wouldn't be no different. If PTSD was not a part of this movie, it would be no different.
I think the film is trying to make PTSD part of the reason that he's building all the suits. Like, the film is about him, the film is about taking away the suits from Tony and just kind of tearing him down.
Bad idea.
No, it's a great idea. It's so good. Like, that scene where he gets all the stuff from the hardware store and builds random crap to go take down the guys at the complex is awesome.
And if that was a whole movie, that'd be one thing, but it's a 2-minute scene.
He's
just out of the suit.
For most of the, like, for pretty much all the film, all of his suits are failing on him. Like, even in the third act, he tries to jump into a bunch of suits and they all fail.
But that's not why people will go to see Iron Man. We don't go to see Iron Man. We actually... And the thing is, if we had had one where it's like, the suit's working, now we're in full Iron Man mode, we never do. And I think that's why
people got frustrated. You do. It's in the first scene when his house gets
destroyed. No, you need... No. First off, he wasn't the one wearing it. Second off, you need...
He's wearing it for half of that scene.
No, you need a full Iron Man scene where he's actually wearing the suit at the end. Like, you have troubles the whole movie, and at the very end, he actually has a one functioning suit that actually works, and he's, you know, doing, like, he gets Extremis working, it's great, you know? Or not Extremis, whatever.
Yeah.
He just never gets that. So, so when people are mad, it's like, yeah, I get it. And then on top of that, they took the Mandarin, who a lot of people were excited for, and they were like, nah, so I actually like that.
You like that. I was about to call you out. You love that twist.
I thought it was funny.
It's a great twist.
But I do see why people get upset about it. So.
Yeah, and I think I like that twist a lot. I think it's a great subversion of expectations. And, like, I know, I understand that if you were a fan, it would irritate you. I'm not, so it's fine. And also, spoilers for either later in this episode, probably not in the next episode we do this. He's coming back in Shang-Chi. Like, I think that's fine. You know what I mean? Like, the real ones come. So, like, I don't know. I quite like the idea that the film is basically saying, Tony, you're taking too much. So his reaction to Avengers is to build as many suits as he possibly can. And the film is like trying to...
The world.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is what we do in Ultron. So why do we
true.
Have it in this
Absolutely.
Movie?
This I agree.
Movie directly affects the events of Ultron. It's Tony Stark directly... like his story directly continuing from PTSD to dealing with it, to handling in a different situation. And as opposed to helping himself... or whatever, he buries himself in work and tries to help others and makes shit worse. That's what Tony does. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Like, you could have done that from Avengers. You literally could have had one. You didn't need three to do that, and three stepping stone was so unnecessary.
I think
like you could have had one scene where he goes. He could have had one scene you take the one scene that they actually give you in Iron Man 3 of any substance, and you go, okay, you know, aliens poured out of a hole. Like, I almost died. Okay, I'm going to do something about this. You could have just taken that scene, put it in Age of Ultron, and Iron Man 3 becomes superfluous.
That's fair. Yeah,
his arc reactor.
I agree.
And it
with...
wasn't a satisfying ending to his story either.
No, it wasn't. I agree with that, and I think that is the biggest problem.
That's true, but we didn't know that.
I thought it was
for a long time.
I think that is the biggest problem with Iron Man 3, because I don't remember exactly, but I think what was happening was RDJ's contract was up after this movie. So they kind of wrote him out of the story in case he never came back, and it doesn't work in the rest of the universe. However, I think within the film, it's actually pretty good. I don't think it's as good as the first Iron Man. That's why it sits right behind it. I do think it's better than Iron Man 2, and I think it does Tony dealing with some sort of anxiety and PTSD better than 2 does, because, you know, I don't know. I quite enjoy it, but we should probably move on. Anything else you guys want to say about that?
I love Shane Black. That's all I gotta say.
I like him when he's not doing Iron Man. I'm with you. I really am.
Or when he's not doing Iron Man or Predator.
Yeah. Or Predator. Oh dear God. Just don't give him. Just let him do his buddy cop movies. Just don't put him in other weird franchises.
Yeah. All right. All right. So the other film we had in 2013 was Thor: The Dark World. Garrett.
I have that. Ugh. I kind of feel bad about this one now because I don't. Whatever. It's 22.
You feel bad about that?
It's like I said, the last couple, it's like, I think I might, at this point, looking back at my list, might like it more than Iron Man 2. So,
wow, that's
like,
incorrect, sir.
I don't know. Like, it's Iron Man 2, Thor 2, and then Incredible Hulk. Those are my last three. So I'm like, I don't know. How does that go? Like, I don't know.
See,
you know?
See, Thor 2 is 22 for me as well. And that's, like, purposeful. I hate this movie. Zach, mm-hmm. Before we get any further, where is he for you?
It's at number 4.
Wait, really?
No, not at all.
I was about to be like, what? What'd you say?
I laughed, and then there was silence, and I was like, oh, God, what?
What'd you say, Zach?
It's at number 20. I'm with you guys.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
I want to outline my problems with this movie, because I rewatched it and I wanted to like it. So for this rewatch, I'd only seen it once before, and I'm like, all right, I want to like this. I know some people like this movie. I want to get on board. I watched it. It's horrible. The only redeeming quality of this film is Loki. Yeah, it is Malekith. Yeah, exactly. The only redeeming quality of this film is Loki, because he sort of has a little bit of a character arc. Thor does nothing.
Though. It's all thrown out the window. Right at the very end, every character development that you've seen Loki go through in this film is just thrown out the window. It's erased.
Okay. I mean, I can get behind
Malekith
that, too.
Was Malekith the guard? Or was he like...
Wait, what?
Malekith's the big bad.
I know. I was kind of hoping that was the joke because he's so forgettable.
He's so forgettable. Yeah. Oh. Okay. So the villain.
I'm so funny.
Okay. So I've heard people say, and I feel like I should call out this person. He's a friend of mine. He's a friend of all of ours. But I won't. But I've heard me? No. All right, I'm gonna do it. Carlisle, you're wrong.
What do you say? What?
I love you, Carlisle, but you're wrong. I've heard Carlisle, and I've heard other people say this too, that Thor is worse than Thor: The Dark World, and that is I disagree
with that.
I disagree so much because Thor 2 has the worst. It nothing happens, and the reason that Carlisle said that Thor 2 is better than Thor is because he said nothing happens in the first Thor. The second Thor stuff happens. The only stuff that happens in the second Thor is just dumb action stuff that has no effect on anything. He blows up some of London and whatever. His mom dies, but it doesn't matter in this film. The only person it actually affects is Loki. Thor doesn't get to have like a moment. Thor doesn't get to have a moment where he reacts to his mother's death until Endgame. Like, yeah. It's just nothing happens in this film. Thor doesn't change at all. This is the point where for about three films
he doesn't react to it for another 6 years.
Yeah, exactly. Thor stagnates for about three films before Chris Hemsworth actually ended up going to Marvel and being like, "Hey, I know my series is the dud, and that's why Ragnarok got made." Like I hate this movie. Nothing happens. The villain's bad. I don't like this movie.
Loki's supposed character development is thrown out the window by him tricking Thor again and still being alive. It's just like when the one emotional thread that you had through the movie.
Yeah,
and says
and I mean I quite like what that set up for Ragnarok, but I think in this movie it is bad. Like, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
But what about the steamy chemistry between Thor and What's-Your-Face?
Oh, yeah, I haven't even mentioned the worst part of the film. The fact that Natalie Portman didn't want to be in the movie. And it's so apparent. Yeah. It's so bad.
That romance has always made me groan. I hope Taika Waititi can fix that.
I think he can, yeah. But, yeah, anyway. Zach, I haven't really let you speak.
He's in the movie. That's the thing. That's assuming that Thor is in that movie. You gotta remember, it's like, there's a good
chance he walked on stage.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he walked on stage.
I heard uncertainty. I thought that there was a chance.
Yeah, he was the first to walk on stage. Then Tessa did, and then Natalie.
Nice.
Yeah. Anyway, Zach, do you have anything else to say? You've been kind of like, no. I think you've been playing devil's advocate just to play devil's advocate.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. No, it's not good. It's easily one of the worst. So
yeah.
Ooh, Kat Dennings in there too. Yikes.
Oh, that's rough. That is rough.
I hate that stuff.
I
hate her assistant more than anything else. He doesn't deserve it. He did nothing, but he just shouldn't be there. And I just
he shouldn't be there at all. They thought it was funny to give.
I'm like, I hope something lands on him. I hope like some portal opens up and he just dies.
Yeah, I don't care about any of it. Selvig's pretty good
in that film. Skarsgård is an underdog in that film. He's actually fun.
There's a reason that he's like out of all of the Thor side characters besides the Asgardians, he's the one that's popped up the most. There's a reason. All right, I think we can move on. Captain America the Winter Soldier 2014. Garrett,
I'm gonna get hell for this. I know it. I feel like you boys are not as big as Cap fans as I am. He's my favorite, but he's number one. Winter Soldier's number one.
Wow. See, for a long time, Cap was my favorite until later in the list when Ragnarok rolled around. But yeah, no, that he's number one. Zach?
I love it so much.
Number three. So I'm right there with Garrett. Okay. I mean, the ones that I love more than that are like just barely above it. So, yep, what do you, Garrett?
At least we're both in the top five. Like, I can sleep soundly knowing that me and Zach agree on something.
This is gonna sound harsh.
Oh God, the world's ending. Hell is frozen over. What's going on?
This is gonna sound harsh, but he's 19. At number. He's at number nine for me.
Not bad.
I mean, he's in my top ten, and again, anything in the top ten is interchangeable for me. It's just because there are films above it that I think I enjoy just a little bit more. It's all like point ones of percentages at this point. The notable thing I will say is that Avengers is directly above him. But yeah, I think I enjoy the Avengers so much. But yeah, it's a great film. Nobody can say.
It came out in what, 2004?
Yep, 2014.
Yep. 2014. Yeah. When I first saw this, I when I first saw Captain America: The Winter Soldier, I went on my own, like when it came out, I went on a MCU rewatch because of this film.
Okay.
I was like, holy shit, this is what superhero movies can be?
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck, dude? I was like, in no way in my wildest dreams did I think that there ever could be a Captain America movie that was this good.
Yeah, like, yeah. And I'm like, with you. I am 100% with you.
I was really surprised. Like, it blew me away, especially at the time. I think, more movies have come out since then that could potentially be number one. It fluctuates a lot, but... this is the one that, in my head, if someone asked me on any given day, without hesitation, I would say The Winter Soldier is my favorite MCU movie.
For me, it was that a long time until, like, for me, for a while, and Zach can vouch this, Winter Soldier and Civil War were, like, my favorite movies of the MCU for a really long time. I think it's really good. The introduction of the Winter Soldier is perfect, and like this is some of the best action that the MCU's had up to this point, since. Like that knife fight is incredible.
The Bad Rock, the Leaper fight in the very beginning is super well choreographed too. I love the line that they fight in; like it's very stylized.
I think I like the rest of the boat better than that fight specifically. But yeah, it's a really good scene. Yeah. Zach, what were you gonna say?
It does have that kind of level of. Childhood bullying where it's like, oh, I thought you weren't just a shield. It's like, stop talking to the guy and just knock him out. Like, however, this was the first movie where I think we realized that superhero films weren't a genre. It's like you didn't have to just say it's a superhero film. That wasn't a genre. It was like, no, this is a political thriller with Captain America.
It's a good point.
Oh. And not many films have transcended that. I can think of a couple.
The only other genres really that we've gotten into is comedies. We've gotten a lot of those in the MCU. But like, I agree. And a lot of people are like coming out now and they're like, yeah, Winter Soldier isn't actually that much of an espionage movie. It's like, it totally is. It 100% is.
Oh my god, the elevator sequence. Like, I know
that's so good.
I know we're kind of just gushing about this one right now, but like that elevator sequence
is
so
incredible.
Good. Like, his line where he's like, before we get started, does anybody want to get out? Like, it's so good.
Yeah, it's so good.
Like, don't trust anyone. And then they're walking in. It's like, oh, we're stopping again. Oh, it's so weird. Those big beefy guys are clocking in. That's kind of weird. Oh, there's men in suits. That's odd.
And that scene is impeccably choreographed as well. It's so good. Like the idea of having a fight scene in such a contained space with like 7+ guys is incredible. You know what I mean? 7+ guys where 6 of them are all against the one is a great idea for a fight scene.
Video essay just like narrowing down like the actual like of filming that scene. You know what I mean? Like
it's so good. Yeah, all right. We all love that film. Are we ready to go on?
Fantastic. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Guardians of the Galaxy 2014.
Yeah!
Garrett?
I got it at number 2.
All right. Zach?
Got a number 2.
All right. Number 4 for me. But yeah, it's great.
Yep.
Guardians is great.
Oh, good.
I love Guardians of the Galaxy.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
I saw that in theaters, and I lost my mind. Like, I had really no, like... I mean, how could you? I had no like idea of what this film was gonna be.
Nobody
I didn't
did.
Know how it was gonna go. You know, like I was like, I just got to see the new Marvel movie. I guess we're watching a Guardians of the Galaxy. It's kind of weird that they picked those guys, but who knows? And then I watched it, and I was like, holy shit! Did that just become number one on my list? Like,
Guardians of the Galaxy is incredible. Yeah, this is like even more so than the rest of my list. This is like. I am this close to putting it number one.
You walk in expecting to laugh and everything else. You're not expecting to cry at multiple points. You're not expecting to like just. You're not expecting to have like you know
complex emotions.
Oh my goodness! They do such a great job. The second one's better at that, but they do such a great job.
I don't know about that, but
I'll
get
give
there.
It my
don't,
pitch.
Just
I'll
you
give
wait.
My pitch when we get there. I'll give it my honest
Guardians,
pitch when we get there, but
Guardians is like on paper it sounds like a bad idea, like
it's all in the execution. The Galaxy, this film is all in the execution.
Else that we've seen, you take a property that no one's talked about since the 80s, Well, arguably. I mean, I don't know. People liked later Guardians comics, but I haven't heard many people talk about it. Probably more so now that the films have done super well. But take a virtually unknown property. You give James Gunn the directing on this huge MCU movie. And then you also... You take it to space for the first time, like it's crazy.
It's so good,
like, and then a ridiculous soundtrack, like it.
Oh, love it! Really,
it checks all the boxes that are synonymous with the MCU now, I think.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, in the first 8 minutes or something, you go from a really kind of character driven, really kind of disheartening, sad moment. To kind of the Raiders of the Lost Ark. By the way, I'm now pitching that Guardians should be on the list.
No.
Too late. Pitch it.
to come and get your love.
It wasn't coming. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was.
He starts dancing, and then you're like, and that moment you go, I know exactly what kind of movie this is.
Yeah, both Guardians movies have perfect title sequences.
Yeah,
both of them do. It's so good.
And then the incorporation of the music into the film, it's just a poignant way. It's like, oh my goodness, this is you didn't have to do that.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
He could just be a fan of the
70s. It's a creative choice.
But he's not. Yeah, it means so much more. And it's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
They did this so well. So, yeah.
All of the music in this film is not, like, the soundtrack, not actual music. But the soundtrack, I mean, the music's good too, but... track itself is ingrained in Star-Lord's character, not like, you know, Back in Black playing in Iron Man, you know what I mean? Like
the only thing with Iron Man,
you're like, oh hell yeah.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, the only thing with Iron Man is that like any AC/DC song would work, but like with Guardians it's like this music specifically, you know.
Yeah
I think we've gotten enough. It's incredible. You ready for the next one?
Yeah, let's go.
All right. Avengers, Age of Ultron, 2015. Garrett?
I have it at 17.
Okay, me too. Really? All right. Zach?
Interesting. It's cool because like we've picked different numbers for every other movie, but then every once in a while there's one that like lines up and it's like, what the heck?
Yeah, yeah.
Zach? I have it at 17.
Wow. All right, guys.
No, I don't. I'm just joking. I wanted us to have a special moment there for a second.
Well, we did, and then you broke my heart. So
I took it away, and that's a good way. It's actually at 12, which is 3 above Avengers.
Wow. Okay.
Oh, you like the sequel? You like Age of Ultron more than the original?
Yeah.
Avengers.
Yeah. I actually had a lot more fun with this movie
I kind of see what you're saying. Like, I probably would have agreed. Back when this came out, or even like a year or two afterwards, but rewatching it for this rewatch, it really dropped in quality in my mind.
I mean, that's another thing. I haven't seen this movie in a long time.
Yeah, like again,
but when I first saw it, I was laughing my head off. Like, I thought I really enjoyed Ultron. I really enjoyed the mix of menacing and also kind of
weirdly
charismatic.
I still really like that. That holds up on a rewatch.
Now, upon reflection. Throwing a rock at the Earth as the big bad villain.
Yeah,
I'm like,
yeah. Actually, I have a pitch for how you could have made this film so much more interesting and like taken more inspiration from the comics. But it's a big change. It's very much changing like a lot about the movie. But anyway, Garrett, what do you think about this movie?
It's fine. I think I feel. Do you remember Zach, you saying that, like, you know, the Avengers movie when Joss Whedon took over, it made, you know, everyone quippy, and for the last 5 years it was quip. I feel like that this is the film that really made that set in for me. Like, that opening sequence when they're all together being the Avengers and Tony Stark is just rambling, like, just like,
and he won't shut up.
He won't shut up. That's when
I
was
quite
like
everything else that about opening that opening sequence, scene.
The action is great. Tony Stark just needs to shut up for a minute.
I think one of the big things in its favor for me was was the trying to lift the hammer scene.
It's a great scene. You get the whole after party scene is amazing.
Yeah, you get so few moments where they're together and they're just enjoying their time together.
That
was a big deal for me. I was like, I kind of
like the best
Joss Whedon's strong suit. That's
the best scenes. The best scenes in this movie are that, and then the farm. Like the quiet moments in this movie are the best parts, and I think that's the biggest fault of the movie, is that when you're doing big superhero action stuff, it kind of falls apart, because even the villain's quiet moments are good. Like like even when Ultron goes and meets Claw, it's awesome until they start fighting. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's the biggest fault with this movie. And also, I think part of the reason that it fell so far for me is because it's kind of diminishing returns on the idea of an Avengers movie. Like, it's basically the same thing, but it's...
I'm with you. I felt like it was the same as Avengers...
Yeah.
It was like the same as Avengers 1, but instead of the downtime being all of them quip fighting over and over and over again the whole movie, it was like their downtime was actually them enjoying some of it, not all of it, but enjoying their time together.
Like the setup for Civil War was really good in this movie, where Cap and Iron Man are chopping wood together. Like,
did you see him like rip that piece, that log, in half? Dude's big.
Good. Yeah, it's donkey. Real good.
Yeah,
yeah.
Dude, fine. Big.
It's probably styrofoam.
let me have this.
Yeah. So I think. Yeah, so if I can, I'll give my pitch for what I would have done, because I adore the marketing for this movie, specifically the first trailer where they have that, and people don't like this anymore, but I quite liked it for this movie, especially when it came out. Like, I watched this trailer so many times when it came out, and part of it was because I was an edgy 15-year-old, so, I mean, it really fit, but, yeah, it was the I have strings, there are no strings on me or whatever. It was like a dark version of that. And like, it pitched this movie as like the dark Avengers movie. And I want that movie. This movie is the Avengers. And then they tease quite a few times that at least one of them is going to die, particularly Hawkeye, maybe Iron Man. And then nobody dies. Nobody important dies. I'm on board with Zach. Remember your opinion on Quicksilver back when this movie came out?
That I didn't like him? I don't remember.
Yeah, well, I loved Quicksilver when it came out, and you ripped me apart for it. Yeah, I'm on board with what you said. he's a nothing character. Yeah, it's just... All right, so I read the Ultron comic before this movie came out, one of them. And the cool thing about that was that he actually, like, took over the world. It was an Age of Ultron. And then the superheroes had to all go underground, right? So I think this movie has all the pieces to make that kind of a movie. It's just, I feel like it didn't have the balls to do it. And so what I would have done almost is, because I quite like Scarlet Witch showing the Avengers their greatest fear and basically taking them out. Would have almost had her put like an almost permanent madness on a couple of the main Avengers, like until she removed it and she came around at the end of the film, and basically have Ultron manipulate and use Scarlet Witch the whole time. You know what I mean? Because that's his greatest asset, and he totally, like, wastes her because he's building an army of himself. It's super lame. But I think it would have been way cooler if you basically take out the main Avengers, maybe leave, like, Cap or something like that, but I kind of want Cap to get mind control as well. But basically leave, like, Hawkeye and just have him, like, creating a resistance to try to fight back against this, and Ultron's literally taken over the world.
Be Batman with a contingency plan against the Justice League.
Yeah, exactly.
And have him try to fix the situation.
Exactly. Yeah, and like, you could still have his family in it, and like him trying to protect his family and keep like keep them away from any source of internet or anything like that. Like, I quite like the idea of having a second Avengers movie where in the first half of the film they do lose, and so the second half is an uphill battle. And I think that's why, ultimately, way down the line, Infinity War is so good, because they did lose. You know what I mean?
Oh, see, that's the thing. It's like that Age of Ultron was supposed... Like, it feels like it was supposed to be this huge event, right? And then and then it happens, and it's just a passable movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, yeah. It feels like it should have had bigger repercussions for the rest of the universe. Right. And the
Infinity War changed... like the world, and not just their world, but our world.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But like, Age of Ultron just kind of comes and goes to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's the biggest flaw of this movie, is it was advertised as that too, and it wasn't what we got. Anyway, Zach, do you have any responses to that? Or
yeah, it was the minor inconvenience of Ultron.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah.
Exactly what I wanted. All of me.
Yeah. And so
actually, no, you don't want that. You want to go somewhere else. far away. Don't bring all of you. You're literally invincible if you could just get away.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah, he literally has the internet to escape with.
And guess what? If it doesn't work this time, he can try something else. You control the internet.
Yeah.
What is this guy's problem?
I feel like this guy, I feel like Ultron's a little dumb. he has so much more power than he knows what to do with.
Well, he is Tony Stark's son, so.
It's true. I do like Vision. I quite like Vision in his introduction and his role in the film.
I'm really glad that the Vision.
Yeah, I'm glad that this film spawned the Vision. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And also,
for sure.
And also Scarlet Witch.
Nothing with him, and then killed him three films later. So
I think he has an interesting role in Civil War, but it's not built up enough. But yeah, we'll get there.
I think it does suffer from a lot of superhero sequels where they try to do too much with the sequel. You've got way too many characters being introduced. You've got simultaneously trying to be bigger. You know, like it's
fell back
into the trope of Spider-Man 3 or Amazing Spider-Man 2. You know, it's just like too much is you're trying to do too much.
X-Men 3.
Like, slow down.
Yeah, I agree. All right, moving on to the end of Phase 2, we have Ant-Man in 2015. Garrett?
I have him at 15.
Okay. Zach?
I've got him at 17.
I've got him at 12. I think I'm probably the highest on this movie.
We're right in the little
little section there.
Yeah.
Ant-Man is right behind Captain America, the First Avenger, to be my second favorite of the origin story movies. I really enjoy this movie. I don't think it's anything particularly amazing, but I quite enjoy the small scale of it. I quite enjoy, people have said that the reason this film is a lot better than some other ones where you go small scale is because they make the scales personal, so you involve his daughter and all of that, and I quite like that. Especially after Avengers, and like back when I enjoyed Avengers Age of Ultron, even after that, it was still like having this small little story that only really affects this guy and his family is quite a fun idea.
I think my I like the film. I think my, like, and I may get chastised for this, but I don't think it's very funny.
Okay, see, I think it's really funny, and my dad
I'm actually with Garrett.
Okay,
I'm with Garrett. Like,
maybe it's just my sense of humor, because like my dad has an interesting kind of view of the MCU. Like, some of his favorite movies are the Ant-Man movies, and he's only seen the Guardians movies once. And I think that's kind of just a difference in comedic tastes. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah.
Like, I disagree with him on Ant-Man 2. We'll get there. But like, I think just maybe for me and as well my dad, the sense of humor just clicks for Ant-Man. And so because of that, like, Ant-Man's one of his favorite MCU movies. The Guardians humor clicks as well, and that's why I think the films are higher for me. I don't think it clicks with
Ant-Man
him.
Ant-Man humor is a little more accessible than, to
probably, yeah.
An outside audience, you know, like your dad's popping an Ant-Man, and he reminds him of, like,
well, it's interesting because he's not a fan of Die Hard. My dad's like a my brain wants to say artur, but I know that's somebody who makes the movies, but he's an artist, and like he quite likes the weird movies. He loves Blade Runner 2049.
Bigger in his,
exactly. That's kind of the weird thing. Like, honestly, I would have suspected that Guardians would be better, because like on a technical filmmaking standpoint, as well as like the craft of it, it's a lot better, I think. But I think maybe Ant-Man is like his guilty pleasure, and that it's just kind of a dumb enjoyment for him. I don't know. Anyway, Zach, what were you gonna say?
I don't know. That's long gone, man.
Okay. Yeah. I think also Ant-Man just also suffers from the big bad being the same, but it doesn't matter. Yeah, Garrett.
Yeah, he's bald guy that goes crazy for no reason.
Yeah, he's bald guy that goes crazy.
Evil now.
He's bald guy that goes crazy because particles.
Yeah, I feel like you should sell that. I feel like selling the goo gun may have been beneficial.
That would
have been
way cooler. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you want to pitch a crazy villain, like an actual like insane villain, have him just be mentally unstable. You don't need to say that particles are affecting his brain. That makes it super dumb. Like, if you want to have an insane man, just have an insane man.
Just present a man who's bald immediately.
He's insane.
I think another thing about Ant-Man that kind of bugs me is like, it's like his crew is just like, okay, stereotypical Hispanic guy, stereotypical Russian guy, stereotypical black guy, and he's the white guy. We're all a team. Welcome to Ant-Man.
That's fair. Yeah, I quite like the Russian guy. And I mean, Louise is great, but I mean, They are very stereotypical, yeah.
That Russian accent is rough.
It's pretty, yeah, I think that's part of the reason I like it. It's just so intense.
It is.
La 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 la, this is the end. Nice.